By making the world a more beautiful place, Artemis publishes artists and writers from the Appalachian region of the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia and beyond. This is the time when we need to write and make art for the sake of healing our souls and enriching our communities. Welcome to Artemis Speaks.
Hello, I'm Jerry Rogers with Artemis Speaks, and we have a very special program today. We're going to be talking about the origins of Artemis, which was highly influenced by an artist, Dorothy Gillespie. We have really emerged from her influence back 45 years ago when I started this publication, and I had no idea how to publish, but I had created writing workshops for abused women and wanted to publish, you know, very productive writings that were coming out of this. And Dorothy Gillespie at the time was a New York City artist. She very influential. She was born in 1920 in Roanoke, but she moved to New York to establish her career. And that was our first cover of Artemis. She donated it, and it put us on the map. Everyone knew her. They didn't know what we were doing in the basement of the YWCA. So there's a lot of history with Artemis and Dorothy Gillespie. And I'm thrilled today to have her children, her daughter, Dorian Beats, and her son, Gary Gillespie. And they're here to talk about a film that has been made, a documentary. It's been years in the works. I'm actually in it, I think, but I haven't seen it. And it will be premiering here in Roanoke on May 22nd. So welcome, Gary and Dorian. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Well, we just saw you last night at the documentary. You look great.
Orlando.
Oh, in Orlando, because you're traveling. So, well, yes, you had... you have been working on this for years. You want to talk about the filmmakers and Jay Scala and Crystal White, who have been working on this with you, and how all this happened. What is the beginnings of this film?
Well, of course, it started with an idea after our mother passed away, and I started traveling around the country and learning more about her. And I thought that it's important to let people know who this woman was. She was more than an artist, and she was a mother, she was a nightclub owner, and had done some work with Jay Scala and Crystal White of White Ladder Productions on a documentary about the studio, and I loved their work, and I approached them, and they started to travel around the country interviewing people. They came to Roanoke many times. So Roanoke is a big part of this documentary, and I think people that come to it on the evening of the 22nd of May will be very pleased with the production.
Because also, our mother was born and raised in Roanoke. So that's really where her roots are. And we as children also came and, you know, would spend summers with our grandparents in Roanoke. So Roanoke really has a special place in Dorothy's evolution.
Yes, yes. And you have the Dorothy Gillespie Foundation, Right, Gary, and you have so much of her work up in New York in your studio of her work and her paintings, but you have spread her work. Both of you have worked hard to connect and make more public art available, right?
Yes, and I'm very excited to say that Roanoke has one of the largest public arts collection around the country. And so it's going to be thrilling for people who have seen all this art, grown up with it. In fact, Sheila Umberger's daughter is in the documentary, and she talks about what it was like to grow up as a child and see the wall that recently has been restored, and it will be shown in the film. If I'm promoting the film, it's because we're going to Roanoke, and the people in Roanoke are just going to recognize so much in the film.
Yes, and I know Sheila Umberger. We were just recently talking about her daughter and how she was influenced as a teenager back then. Well, the mural that happened in Roanoke was a result of Artemis's first cover by your mother, and she created such excitement. I remember my friend Lynn Yates, who's now deceased, unfortunately, she came in my office and said, how would you like a cover by Dorothy Gillespie? You know, at the time I was 24, 25, and I just moved to Roanoke. I didn't know her, but I quickly got to know her. And before I knew it, I'm up in her studio picking out a print for the first cover. And that just created so much sparkle and excitement. The city leaders, the business people decided to throw a champagne brunch in her honor. She came down, we're publishing the journal for the first year. And then it was actually Lynn and my idea said, well, why don't we do a mural? And we didn't know how this would be received, but everybody loved the idea. And before we knew it, money was found. And it was the first mural in downtown Roanoke. And I have a great story about that because my layout editor and art editor, now married, Paige and Zephyrin Turner, were teenagers at the time, and they would go down and sit 45 years ago on a bench and watch this mural being painted, and they were so influenced. They both became established artists, and now what goes around comes around. There now my editor is putting together the layout for me. So it's just interesting the influence that your mother still has and the energy and excitement. I can't wait to see this documentary.
Yeah. Yes. This is the documentary is so inspiring for the audience, regardless of where you grew up. Our mother was an incredible inspiration, seemingly. It's a surprise to me, even as her daughter, to hear how the audience has responded after seeing the film. They are moved in so many ways to go out and create their own dreams and be the influence to the next generation.
Yes, and you are a spiritual life coach, right, Dorian? You want to talk a little bit about your background? You've joined your brother here on this amazing journey.
Yes, I live in Thailand, actually, and again, our mother was such an influence and encouraged the expansion of lives, actually. So she has a lot of different facets, and one of them with her art is this sense of the ability to transcend the mundane, as art really is trying to help us do, to take us out of the normal everyday grind and really show us who we could potentially be. That's the creative energy, and that's contagious. And that's what I think Mom was really about. And when you see the movie, the film, you feel that coming through. They've done an amazing job in that way. So she encouraged us to go out and seek our dreams. And one of Yeah, I she was psychic. She was an intuitive. She received information from different dimensions as an artist, as any creative person does, whether you're an author or an artist or a performer. And we're all capable of that. We don't always know that. So yeah, I'm in the healing arts, or the woo-woo world, as some people call it, which is perfect.
Yes. And well, I believe the arts are healing. And I used the arts writing workshop with abused women clients at the center to help them, you know, break through, you know, the revolving door of going back into this terrible situation. And so I've always thought of art as a healing process, and I love that. And Gary, you have, besides running the nonprofit, you are involved in robotics, and you have another nonprofit to help spread the word about teaching robotics. And you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Our mother, of course, was hoping her children would become artists. And in our own ways, we became artists, not visual artists. So that when I started this program in 1999, a robotics program in the South Bronx, my mother said, finally, one of my children is working in aluminum, because robots are made out of aluminum. So it was my opportunity to get involved in the arts in a way, and science, technology. So I started this robotics program where students build these robots, and then they go around the country competing. And this year is my 25th anniversary. So I'm working with my hands. Some of the students have gone on and, you know, become artists themselves. And in the documentary, and I keep pushing the documentary, and I don't think we even gave the title of it. It's Dorothy Gillespie, Courage, Independence, and Color. And one of my students is featured in the documentary. He was on the robotics team, and he was instrumental in helping my mother with her art for the Rockefeller Center exhibition.
Isn't that amazing? So you were a teacher at the time when you started.
I was an educator. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I was in the business world. And then at age 35, I decided I wanted to help students in the South Bronx. And it was the best thing I've ever done. And I still volunteer in the South Bronx with the robotics program.
Wonderful. Wow. So your mother's art is all over the place. She lived in New York City, married to your father. I think he had a champagne bar down in the village, right?
A nightclub.
Nightclub. Mm-hmm.
That was the first of three nightclubs that they had.
And that's where she met him. She started working at the nightclub when she just moved into New York. And
No. She started working in a B. Altman department store during the day, doing windows and advertising. And that in the evening, she'd come home and sit at the bar that my father owned in 1943. Oh. And they would just talk and talk. And then 3 years later, he proposed.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask you about her. Also, she has a lot of work down in Florida. They lived in Florida at some point.
Well, we moved to Florida in 1954. And we lived there for 9 years. So there's a lot of art. She had studios in Orlando and a home in Orlando and in Hollywood and in Miami. So, yeah, Florida is a big part of her legacy. Roanoke is a big part. Orlando, specifically in Central Florida, and Wilmington, North Carolina. So there's art all around the country.
She was so prolific. I remember going to her studio, you know, and picking out the first cover. I couldn't believe the amount of work in the studio. It was a huge studio. And her work is all over the place. Could she cook dinner for you kids? Did you have to just...
No, she actually said to us very early on, if you want to eat, you're going to have to learn to cook. So I am a great cook. I love being in the kitchen. It's very creative. When she did cook, it was for big amounts for parties and all, but she was there when we needed her.
Yes, Well, you survived. Know. Here you are.
As my
in
brother,
New York City.
Well, as my brother says in the documentary, he says, and we all turned out normal. None of us needed therapy.
Which isn't true. But
well, you became a therapist of sorts, right, Dora?
Correct.
So you give yourself therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, when I met her, and I was really in awe of her, and I remember we had to take a break, and we were going to go to lunch, and we're on a subway going downtown to one of her favorite places, and I remember I was standing, it was a crowded car, and she had gotten a chair, and she was sitting down, and there was a person that was really struggling. You could tell his clothes were tattered. He was almost probably homeless. And he was next to her and he fell asleep and rested his head on her shoulder. I'm watching this whole thing and I'm thinking, okay, how is she going to handle this? And she just looked at me and smiled and, you know, we're rolling along on the subway. And I thought, oh my goodness, this woman has such a kind heart. She's a lovely, lovely person. A lot of people would freak out and push him away. She let him sleep on her shoulder till we got off. And I think I frankly fell in love with your mother at that point. That was just so wonderful of her. And it showed me her character and her generosity of spirit. So we're very excited about this documentary, and I can't wait to see it. It's going to be May 22nd at the Grandin Theater down in Grandin Park or Grandin neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's... Fine. Starts at 6 o'clock, right?
I think it's 7 o'clock actually. But the doors will open.
The
early.
Doors open and people early. Can gather and you know,
we'll be there early, and we look forward to. See, I have so many friends in Roanoke. I mean, I haven't contacted them in 50 years. We wouldn't recognize each other, but I look forward, you know, Patrick Henry High School.
Oh, yeah.
I went and, you know, and right before school was let out, there are just so many people. My first love was there. I probably won't tell you his name, but I would love to see any of my old friends, because they knew, you know, mom's mom, my mother's mother, my grandmother, as Lillian Gillespie, you know, the Gillespies, E.V. Gillespie, and then my mother married Israel, and that was my maiden name. Anyway, I'm just calling to everybody out there that I'm dated and had a past with. I look forward to seeing you again.
And there are plenty of tickets available.
Yes, it's great to go ahead and buy a ticket now.
Yes, and the Q&A is the best part.
Yes, yeah. And you can buy tickets through the Grandin site, the Grandin Theater site.
Website or at the box office, of course.
Right.
And there'll be refreshements. The concession will be open.
It'll be a great homecoming. I'm sorry your mother won't be there, but she'll be with us in spirit. And when you see the documentary, there she had made so many friends all over the place that you've rounded up for years in the making of this documentary. So it'll be a great time, great party. I can't wait to see both of you and encourage everyone to come out and buy tickets either beforehand, or they will probably be available. If not sold out, we'll see how it goes. But spread the word. It's going to be a great time. And
it will be fun. And we'll be in town on the day before and happy to meet people. We'll be touring the city. And
right.
Our old stomping grounds. Oh, my God. Roanoke was such an inspirational and important part of our lives growing up. So it's like a homecoming coming back.
Right. She really made her mark. She was very avant-garde. Her work is wonderful. We have it all over the city. And will the filmmakers be there?
Jay
and
absolutely.
Crystal. Well, that'll be fun. So they'll do a talk.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
In an answer afterwards, after the film, if people stay around, any questions. So we're really available, accessible.
Well, it'll be so fun to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Jerry Rogers for Artemis Speaks. Thank you, Skip Brown, for making this happen. And until then, I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yay. Oh, looking forward to it. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Takes the time to stop and smell the roses. We're too busy walking round.
You've been listening to Artemis Speaks. Artemis is a charitable organization and has evolved to be all-inclusive, a journal with essays, poetry, and art. 10% of the journal's sales are donated to a woman's shelter in Southwest Virginia. If you're interested in learning more, ArtemisJournal.org. You can mail us directly, P.O. Box 505, Floyd, Virginia, 24091. The closing music and the opening music you're listening to is Jordan Harmon. And the song is Just Slow Down, a very appropriate comment for the times that we're in. If you want to read, you have to slow down. Artemis Speaks, the podcast, is recorded twice monthly at Final Track Studios in Raleigh, Virginia. All rights reserved, and is co-produced by Jerry Rogers and Skip Brown.
He loves so much. Can anybody tell me when it became so cool? Got everybody walking around, trying to do the same thing that everybody else they do. And you know, oh yes, you know, you gotta be yourself. Yourself is all you got, and all you got is what you need. Look in the mirror, see it clearer. The answer's staring at you. And so just slow down in life, because you can't buy back your time, and you know you can't lose time. Those things that you love so much. You love so much. And so just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down if you've got to. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down. Yeah, just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down if you've got to. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down if you've got to. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down if you've got to. Just slow down if you've got to, baby. Just slow down.